So we're going to start by giving the definition of a supersymmetry algebra, and then we'll classify in various dimensions what possible supersymmetry algebras there are. So suppose we work in n dimensions. We're going to consider the group spin n with complex coefficients. So I'm extremely lazy. This means I always want to take my Lie group to have complex coefficients and consider complex representations. The reason being, if you start worrying about reality conditions, then all these conditions, you know, your dimension being 3 mod 8, all this kind of stuff comes in, and I don't particularly care. Also, the reality conditions differ between Euclidean and Lorentzian signatures, so if you're interested in Euclidean field theory, reality conditions actually don't make any sense. So we're going to consider complex representations. So we're going to take V equals C to the N, the vector representation. And suppose we have a spin representation, S is a spin representation, again complex. And also, suppose that gamma from S tensor S to V is a map of representations. Which is symmetric. I call it gamma because if you write it in a basis, these would be the gamma matrices. So this is the basic data one needs to construct a supersymmetry algebra. Then we can construct a super Lie algebra. So this super Lie algebra is called the super translation algebra. I'll call it T. So it's a super algebra, which means it has an even part and an odd part. So the even part is the usual translations by the vector representation. And the odd part is my spin representation. And the Lie bracket if I take vector in V and spinners in S, then the bracket of a vector with anything is 0. Whereas the Lie bracket of two spinners is given by this map gamma. Now, while we said gamma was symmetric, since we're dealing with super algebras, in ordinary algebra, the Lie bracket is anti-symmetric. But since these are odd elements in a super Lie algebra, this is supposed to be symmetric, which it is. So this extension of this stupid Abelian Lie algebra of translations is called the super translation algebra. But we've chosen everything so that it's all acted on by the spin group. So that means we can build a larger Lie algebra by taking this kind of silly Lie algebra and adding on a copy of SON. This larger algebra is the supersymmetry algebra. So the supersymmetry algebra is the semi-direct product So what does this mean? it looks like in even degrees, it's the vector representation and the generators of rotation. And in odd degrees, it's my spin representation. And the Lie bracket, hockey stick just fell over. The Lie bracket is such that if I have a spinner and a vector and some rotation, the bracket of A with anything is the natural action on a spinner or a vector. Whereas the bracket of two spinners is as before. And the bracket of a vector and a spinner is zero. Okay. So what so when you're studying supersymmetric field theory, the thing you're interested in is field theories where the action of the spin group or the level of the algebras of SOM together, you know, by field theory, it's acted on by the spin group, by rotation, it's going to be acted on by translation as well. A supersymmetric field theory is one where the action has been extended to one of this larger Lie algebra. Okay, so today, we're going to do some basic things. We're going to study in various dimensions what are the spin representations, and in various dimensions, when can we construct such a map? Okay, so it's all just fun algebra. Any questions so far? So I'm going to start by introducing the Clifford algebra. Again, so in n dimensions, take V equals Cn, some vector space with an inner product, E1, En, an orthonormal basis. So EI, EJ, so delta IJ. Then the Clifford algebra is going to be an algebra generated by symbols with one symbol for each basis element in certain quadratic relations. So C join E1, En. Modulo the relations are so EI, EJ, plus EJ, EI is delta IJ. So this is an associative algebra. So a basis is given by, if I just take products in these generators, where no two elements, where no element occurs twice, that forms a basis. So things like EI1 times EIK, I1 less than I2 less than IK. So therefore, the dimension is 2 to the n, because of course I have to, there are 2 to the n basis elements. 2 to the n. And it's also, it's a super algebra. It has a decomposition into even and odd pieces. So we say an element is even or odd if it's written with an even or odd number of generators. Okay, so we started off, well, the point of the Clifford algebra, this was introduced sometime in the mid-19th century, the point of it is that it will allow you to understand both the spin group and representations of the spin group. So I mentioned at the beginning the spin group. The spin group is, of course, a double cover of SON. So we can realize it, the spin group, as living inside this Clifford algebra. So how do we do that? So the first thing to notice is that if I look at the set of quadratic elements in here, so there's a copy of SON, the Lie algebra. At the Clifford algebra, how does this work? If I take a matrix, so if Eij is the elementary matrix, then we can take Eij minus Eji. This is an element of SON. And this maps to just EI times EJ. Okay, because of this relation, this is symmetric, as anti-symmetric under I and J. This is also anti-symmetric under I and J. And you can check, maybe there's a factor of 2 missing or something, but you can check that the commutators of these guys match up with the commutators of these guys in this algebra. For example, EI, EJ, E. J E K is equal to E I E K, this kind of thing. So, I figure there probably was. Yeah. To add this, factors of 2 will always be exercises, yes. At least there's no factors of pi or something. What's it?
I'm an algebraist. So
yeah. Well, once we stop giving algebra, then we might worry about that. Okay, so how does this help? So this helps because anytime we have a Lie algebra inside an associative algebra, I can look at its exponential. What does that mean? You just write down the formula for the exponential. It makes sense here. So the exponential of SONC inside of this Clifford algebra is the subgroup of elements of the form e to the alpha, which is like 1 plus alpha plus alpha squared over 2, for some alpha in here. Now, the theorem is that this subgroup, well, whatever subgroup it is, it has a Lie algebra, SON, but it might be a bigger group. And it turns out to be the spin group. This group is spin. The reason being, so I won't go into details about this here, but the reason this happens is there's an element, the element minus one in the Clifford algebra, that will appear in this exponential. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, so that's that element minus one is an element of this group, which squares to one, so it's in the center. So that's the thing that's killed once you map out down to SON. Okay, so from this, we see that any representation of the Clifford algebra will give rise to a representation of the spin group. So we'd like to construct some representations of the Clifford algebra. So the representation theory looks a bit different depending on whether n is even or odd. So we'll start in the case n is even. So suppose n is 2n. Then we're going to form a new basis. A new basis for Cn, so a new set of generators for the Clifford algebra, called Fi plus and Fi minus. And this is going to be equal to e to the 2i minus 1 plus I e to the 2i minus I e to the 2i. So the point of doing this is that these are null vectors. So when we looked at the relations in the Clifford algebra, up here, this involved taking the inner product of two vectors. So because these are null vectors, since these are null, we have here, I'm going to use the supercommutator. Plus minus is equal to 0. So we'll be using this notation a lot. Since these are odd elements, this is when we have the commutator, we have an extra sign. This is just fi plus minus fj plus minus plus fj plus minus fi. So these guys supercommute with each other. When I have a plus here and a plus here, or a minus here and a minus here, because these are all orthogonal null vectors. And up to a factor of 2 again. Two delta j. Really? I'm shocked.
I think I could have usually put a two from the top.
Let's change bases then.
Even the pi e1 is minus 1. That's why you're minus 1.
Ah, OK. Ah, good. Yes, thank you.
Up to, well, maybe this is too
wrong. Up to which?
Maybe my screws are wrong.
Okay. So this is, people here are physicists. These are canonical commutation relations, like raising and lowering operators. So now we have a representation on which one guy acts as lowering operators, the other guy acts as raising operators. So we can construct a representation. On just polynomials in the fi pluses, say fi minuses, in which fi minus acts by multiplication, and fi plus by 2 d by d fi minus. And here, but since I think we're working in this super world, this is really an exterior algebra because of these commutation relations. This is a 2 to the m dimensional vector space. Sorry, this is not visible. So we have a representation of the Clifford algebra. So let's call this representation for now S. Say S subscript the subscript CL to indicate that it's acted on by the Clifford algebra. So it turns out you can show, well, this is a graded representation. The representation also has even and odd decomposition into even and odd. That up to a change of parity, this is the only irreducible representation. Only irreducible representation. Up to a change of parity. And in fact, the Clifford algebra itself is the endomorphisms of this representation. Clifford algebra is endomorphisms of S. So this is a supervector space. So the symmetries of the supervector space is some supermatrix algebra. This is GL M slash M. Okay, just because there's this whole thing is dimension 2 to the m, there's 2 to the m minus 1 even parts, even elements, and 2 to the m minus 1 odd elements. Put them together, we get the whole thing of dimension 2 to the m. So it's like the Clifford algebra is now this big kind of supermatrix algebra. It has like even, odd. Odd can be written in this block diagonal form with respect to the decomposition of S into even and odd. And in this block diagonal form, the spin group is in the even part of the Clifford algebra, so it lives in these two pieces. Okay. Any questions? Yes. But it decomposes as a sum of two representations of the spin group.
Comment?
Yeah?
As far as I can tell, this is basically the Kurtzian.
I'm curious about the history of this. I mean, Clifford.
Kurtzian knew that Clifford was a matrix algebra.
Uh huh.
That's the first place. He didn't know that superstar.
I always wonder what Clifford knew.
He was kind of generalized Hamiltons.
Oh, the quaternions, right. Yeah, of course.
But I don't know why.
Also Grassmann. Okay. So we have this representation of the Clifford algebra. So we've seen that the spin group is inside the Clifford algebra. And the case, again, n is 2n. Then this Clifford representation has even and odd pieces. These are preserved by the spin group. Therefore, we get two representations of the spin group. So let S plus be the even piece. S minus be the odd part. And what we find is that these are now are two irreducible spin representations. And they're distinct. And they're of dimension 2 to the n over 2 minus 1. So in any even dimension, your supersymmetry algebra will always be built from these two representations. So what happens when n is odd? We can do something similar say n is 2n plus 1 we can construct a similar set of generators fi plus equals e to the 2i minus 1 so plus minus I e to the 2i now together with e 2n plus 1 for I. We construct a similar set of generators, 2n plus 1 of them, is fi plus minus, where I ranges from 1 to m, and then an additional one, the last guy, e. So just because we can't find a complete set of null vectors anymore. So what do? We just do the same thing we did before. We make some of these guys act as raising and lowering operators, and then this guy just acts by multiplication on itself. So there's a representation on some exterior algebra. So polynomials in fi minus and e to the 2n plus 1, where fi minus acts by multiplication. Fi plus acts by 2d by df I minus, and e to the 2n plus 1 acts by multiplication. Or we use a relationship that fi minus e to the 2n plus 1 is 0, and e to the 2n plus 1 squared. Yeah, now I see why that factor of 2 was better, wasn't it?
Yeah. What do we call this a polynomial algebra?
Exterior algebra.
This is an odd element in a polynomial algebra. There's no way to square it and it's 0.
Okay. Well, as a vector space, it's an exterior algebra. If you want, maybe it's better to introduce another element called epsilon. And then this guy acts by epsilon plus d by d epsilon. Then it's squared by 1. So this is, again, some representation of the Clifford algebra. Its dimension is, so 2 to the n plus 1. Yeah. What we'll find is that it's an irreducible representation of the Clifford algebra. In this case, the Clifford algebra is not a matrix algebra anymore. It just is what it is. It's just a Clifford algebra. It's a tensor product of a matrix algebra with something else in the Clif 1. This representation will not be irreducible as a representation of the spin group. We'll see that in a second. So we'll let S Clifford algebra be this representation of spin and C. Now, of course, it's not irreducible because we can decompose it into even and odd elements. But the contrast in the even-dimensional case, these two representations were different, but now they'll be the same. Sorry, I know this is getting pretty abstract, but in a few minutes I'm going to get very concrete and write down what happens in every dimension up to 10, and it's very explicit. At least up to 6 is very explicit. Okay, so this Clifford algebra, or so this representation, we have S plus S minus, now representations of spin to n plus 1, C. But these turn out to be isomorphic. The point is, the element, say gamma, which is E1, E2, up to E to the 2n plus 1, in the Clifford algebra, this element commutes with spin group. And it maps S plus to S minus, and gamma squared is, I think, minus 1. It's minus 1, I don't remember. So it's an isomorphism. So because of these guys, gamma is a map of representations of the spin group. So this guy and this guy are just isomorphic representations. So in this case, we only find one irreducible spin representation. Let's find it over here. So at the bottom, in case n is equal to 2n plus 1, we have S, 1, irreducible spin rep of dimension two to the m. Okay. So our goal, the goal was to understand supersymmetry algebras. So that was why we embarked on this stuff about Clifford algebras. And we've gotten ourselves to a good place. We've constructed all the spin representations we will ever need. But one thing we would like to understand is, at the very beginning, we wanted to understand, when is there a map which takes two copies of a spin representation to a vector representation? So I'll write out the question, and then instead of giving you the general answer, which I think depends on the behavior of n modulo 8, it's kind of Bott periodicity type phenomenon, we'll just work through the first couple of examples and see. So if n is odd, So if n is even, the vector representation will always live inside of s plus plus s minus tensor 2. Now, there's a number of possibilities. Basically, three possibilities. One, it lives inside of s plus tensor s minus. Two, it lives inside of the symmetric square of s plus. And there's some symmetry which will tell you it also lives inside of the symmetric square of s minus. The third possibility is that it lives inside the exterior square of s plus. Which possibility occurs dictates what kind of supersymmetry algebra we can build. Because if n is bigger than 2, this is an irreducible representation. So there's a unique map. So you can figure out what the spinners in your supersymmetry algebra you're allowed to have by requiring that there is such a map. And this tells you, in this case, for example, a perfectly good supersymmetry algebra will be to have just S plus. In this case, you're not allowed to have just S plus because you need it to be symmetric. So you must take two copies of S plus. In this case, you can't have just S plus, you must have S plus and S minus. So this happens in dimension 4 mod 8. This happens in dimension 2 mod 8, I think. Let's see. Maybe say things I'm more confident about. This happens in dimension 4. This happens in dimension 2. For example, this happens in dimension 6. So in dimension 4, you can't have a different number of positive and you can't have a different number of chiral and anti-chiral spinners. In dimension 2, or in dimension 6, you can't have the irreducible spin representation. You must have at least two copies of it. But you can have a different number of chiral and anti-chiral, which is why you're allowed to have 2,0 supersymmetry in dimension 6. But not in dimension 4, and so on. Okay. Sorry, Theo. Yes, by triality. Yes. Yeah. Damn. I wish. So then I don't understand the pattern. So I know, I can write down the first. Up to dimension 10, but I don't understand the periodicity very well. Because it can't be mod 8 if dimension 8. It must be 4. If it's 4 or 0 mod 8, it's type 1. And if it's 2 mod 8 or 6 mod 8, yeah. That must be it, yeah. Because I know dimension 10 is type 2. Okay. So if n is odd, then it's always going to, the vector representation will always live in the square of the symmetric, in the square of the spin representation. And then there are two possibilities. And this happens in dimension 3, for example, this happens in dimension 5. So presumably it's the same mod A periodicity. Okay, so let's. Well, probably. Or maybe it's just periodicity mod 4 in this case. Okay. So the story with Clifford algebras is great to get kind of a good understanding of why there are spin representations and what their dimensions are. But it really doesn't, it's not, you know, if you're working in dimension 4, you don't need to use Clifford algebras. It's really much more explicit than that. If you're working in dimension 12, Clifford algebras might help you. But most of the time, you're working in low dimensions, and things are really quite explicit. So what I'd like to do now is go over the first couple of dimensions in an explicit way, starting at dimension 2. Dimension 2 is a little bit exceptional. So first case, n is equal to 2, then SO2C is just the non-zero complex numbers. Spin 2C is the same thing. And the map sending, but the map is a double cover. The vector representation, this is the unique case when the vector representation is reducible. So it's a sum of reps, say V10, V01 of weights 1 and minus 1 under SO. So V10 is spanned by d/dz. Right, so these, if I take the null vectors, there's spanned by two null vectors of weights 1 and minus 1. Now the spin representation, S plus, normally the way you'd write it, this is one dimensional. And this copy of C star, it's weight a half action of C star, so SO2C. And precisely because it's a weight a half, so the generator acts by its square root. That's why we need to pass the double cover to make sense of it. And S minus is also equal to C, and it's a weight minus a half. So now we can see how it's going to work. The square of S plus will be V10, and the square of S minus will be V01. So sim 2 V01. So if we wanted to have, well, in this case, we're allowed to have n comma m supersymmetry for any n and m. The n m supersymmetry algebra, where the spin representation S n comma m is S n copies of this guy, S minus tensor C to the M. Okay, so we want to have, in particular, we could take n equals 1, n equals 0, the very simplest case. So we'd like to have a map from the symmetric square of this to the vector representation. So to do that, we were to say, I'm going to pair two elements here to get an element in this guy, which is this guy. So for that to make sense, I need to have some way of pairing vectors in this auxiliary space, Cn. So these spaces, Cn, Cm, are auxiliary spaces. And we need an inner product in these spaces. This symmetric inner product on them. Okay, and the choice of such a symmetric inner product, let's call this like, given a symmetric inner product, the map gamma from the symmetric square of SNM to V is defined as follows. Write it out over here. We take psi plus tensor E psi plus prime tensor E prime equals psi plus prime inner product of E and E prime. Here, E is in C to the N. Psi plus is spin of positive chirality, and we're identifying, we're implicitly using the operation which takes two spinors of positive chirality and produces a vector, a null vector. Okay, so that's why we need to do this inner product. Okay, so similarly, sorry, make more, but this lives in, yes. So I wrote that already. So minus tensor F prime So now we understand our first example of a supersymmetry algebra is given by translations plus this thing made fermionic. Okay. Any questions? Did I confuse people by the introduction of these auxiliary spaces?
No.
Good. So the reason I wanted to introduce these auxiliary spaces is that I felt it is now is a good time to mention another important phenomenon, which is called OR symmetry. I have no idea what OR stands for. You notice this algebra, I can apply some matrix acting on this vector space. And that will be a symmetry of the algebra as long as the matrix preserves the inner product I've chosen. So we find that this supersymmetry algebra will have some outer group of symmetries built from an orthogonal group acting here and an orthogonal group acting here. So this Fizi algebra has an ON times OM, so OR symmetry group. We're acting on C to the N, C to the M, respectively. Okay, so let's discuss the next case. Well, spin 3C is the same as SL2C. So if you looked at the numerology we wrote down before, the irreducible spin representation in odd dimensions was of dimension 2 to the n minus 1 over 2. In this case, 2 to the n minus 1 over 2 is 2. So there's an obvious two-dimensional representation, namely the fundamental representation of SL2C, and that is the spin representation in this case. So S, it's the unique two-dimensional representation of SL2C. It has to be this. So S is equal to the two-dimensional fundamental representation of SL2C. So in this language, what's the vector representation? Well, SL2C has a unique three-dimensional irreducible representation. That's the adjoint representation. So this must be this. But of course, as you know from elementary considerations, the adjoint representation is the symmetric square of the fundamental representation. Okay. So this is a situation where the supersymmetry algebra is the simplest it can really possibly be. There's one irreducible spin representation, and the spin representation has the feature that its symmetric square contains the vector representation, so that I can use just that representation to build a supersymmetry algebra. I don't need to take two copies of it. So to have n equals 1 supersymmetry in three dimensions, we can just take, we just use S. S, so that the algebra is pi S plus V. This is then there are two fermionic elements here. Of course, it's possible to have extended supersymmetry in three dimensions. And for the same reason we discussed before, what you need to do to have this extended supersymmetry is the tensor S with some vector space which has a symmetric pairing. To have an extended supersymmetry, we take S tensor C to the n, where C to the n has a symmetric pairing and we conclude that the Orr symmetry in this case is again S O N C. Let's see, I suppose I'll take 2 minutes to do dimension 4 as well, because that will be very quick. And then we'll stop. So spin 4C is two copies of SL2C plus times SL2C minus. So again, looking at our numerology, we're in an even dimension, we'd expect there are going to be two irreducible spin representations, and they're distinct. And if you calculate the dimensions, if they're both of dimension 2, what they'll be is the fundamental representations of this guy or the fundamental representations of this guy. So S plus minus is the fundamental rep of SL 2C plus minus, and the vector representation it turns out to be the tensor product of these two guys. That's a fun thing to convince yourself of if you haven't seen it before. Okay, so we think what can we do to build a supersymmetry algebra? If you want our supersymmetry algebra to have no center, that is to have nothing which commutes with every other element, we need to have the same number of positive and negative chirality spinners. So this is the algebras. So we'll introduce W, an auxiliary vector space of dimension n, then S plus tensor W plus S minus tensor W star. This has the properties to be the spinners of a supersymmetry algebra. So the map gamma, let's call this kind of boldness. Well, this uses the fact that V is equal to S plus tensor S minus, and the pairing between W and W star. So we conclude that the number of supersymmetries, when you talk about n supersymmetries, like n equals 4, that's the dimension of W. N equals 4, W would be four-dimensional. We also see what the Orr symmetry group is. On this vector space W, I've chosen no structure. So the Orr symmetry group is GLN. Or GL, yeah. Or the compact form of UN, which is how it's normally written in the physics literature. Okay, I think I'll stop there, and next week we'll look at dimensions 5 and 6. Yes?
I can
do 7. What's that?
I know 7.
Good. Do you know 5? 5 is 1. Yes, and since 6 is SL4, so that's how you do 5 and 6. And then it stops being quite spacey. The triality is spin 8.
And it's been 7.
And it's been 7, yes, but after that.
Then you can look through this.
Yes, yeah.